May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
In Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Actually, in Greek, prepositions are a little problematic in translating them into English. And the word with, that's translated in the NIV on with, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, is actually epsilon nu, which is in, and usually is translated in. So, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, is what it actually says in the Greek. I want to give you an example here. A little story. Back when Miranda and I were in Houston at St. Thomas the Impossible, Apostle Church, they had a day school there. And that's part of why it was impossible. Anyway, had a day school there. And at one point, I believe it was a third grade teacher, wanted to take a field trip with the kids over to the Space Center. We were just a block away from the Space Center, so it wasn't a big deal. But she needed an extra chaperone, and she wanted me to drive a car so that they didn't have to rent a school bus to take them over there. There were only 15 kids, but we all, anyway, the reason why, for science presentation she was doing, they at the Space Center, they assemble different things there, and then they have a channel that comes up from the Gulf of Mexico up the Houston Ship Channel, and then you can come through Clear Lake and come right to a dock right at the Johnson Space Center. And I believe that the payload that they were going to be shipping that day was what was called Space Lab, which was going to go in the cargo bay of the space shuttle. And so it was going to be really cool for the kids to be able to go over and see them bring Space Lab out of the center and put it on the barge and watch it go off down Clear Lake. And so this was a big deal, and, you know, it was really exciting. So we all got in the various cars, and we drove over to the dock there by the Space Center. And you got 15 kids, you've got water. What could go wrong? Anyway, one of the little boys was standing there, and I didn't see it, but all I heard was the splash. And so turned around, and the teacher just surprised the heck out of me. She just walked casually over to the edge of the dock. And she looked in, I've forgotten the boy's name now. Okay, Stephen, now you remember your safety presentation, you know how to handle this. I'm ready to jump in the water and go grab the kid, She's just standing there very calmly talking to him. Now, get on your back, you know how to do this. And she coached him right back over to the edge of the dock, and then she and I reached down in and pulled him out. And, I turned to her and I said, how did you stay so calm? She said, oh, it's important. It's really important, not just for him, but so that the other kids can see that they can do it too. Ooh, okay, that's pretty cool, Oh, one of my kids is going to drown, Anyway. Well, now I'm going to come back to that example in just a minute. But, one of the things about baptism is we get so focused on the mechanics of it. Unless you are fully immersed, you're not really baptized. Sprinkling is unacceptable. You've got to pour. Forget the mechanics of it, When you're baptized, regardless of the means that is used for the sacrament or whatever they call it, of baptism, it is... What?
I think they call it an ordinance.
Whatever. Anyway, you are baptized into Jesus Christ. St. Paul says this in Romans chapter 6. When you're baptized into the body of Christ, okay? Well, what's important here in this verse in Mark's gospel, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into the Holy Spirit. And there is a baptism in the Spirit, which when you receive the sacrament of baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. But there is more. There's always more with God. And what he's saying is, when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you have asked for it, you can be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit in you is empowered to do the work that God has called you to do. And it is that means by which you can stay in constant and perpetual relationship with Jesus and with the Father. That is only possible through the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Does this make sense? And so that's why it's important for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That boy was baptized in the messy water of Clear Lake. But anyway, okay. But I'm going to come back to that example in just a minute. All right. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. Here is, in Isaiah 42:1, here is my servant whom I hold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. Now, who is the servant? The Jews and the Christians following have put various interpretations on this passage, which is the first servant song. There's three others. And the servant has been variously described as the prophet himself, the prophet Isaiah, or Israel as a whole. Obviously, the New Testament evangelist said that Jesus is the servant, and there are those who say that it is the body of Christ. Well, that would make sense. If it is Jesus, then the church being the body of Christ, it is that. So, who is the servant? The servant is all of those. He really is. And so the promise is that the Holy Spirit will be on the servant. Now, it's important for us to recognize that just as you were baptized into the body of Christ when you received water baptism, so when you are baptized into the Holy Spirit, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit for yourself. It's not an individual thing. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit for the whole body. For the church, for the whole kingdom. You're baptized into the Spirit which is upon all who call upon the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Okay. And so when Paul talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, he's saying that the Spirit is given for what? The common good. The Spirit has been given to you. You have received the baptism, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the common good, to build up the body. The gifts are given for edification, encouragement, and comfort, he says. It's not just for you. It's not so that you can feel really good about yourself and your relationship with Jesus. And the Holy Trinity is not me, Jesus, and my Bible. Okay? It's the whole body. Sorry, Diane.
Two or more gathered in.
I didn't hear that, but that's all right. We'll keep pressing on before I get in real trouble here. All right, let me go back to this example of this little boy who fell in Clear Lake. Which was really funny after it happened.
Once he was okay.
Anyway, some keys to understanding that example and how it relates to baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, you know, he said that somebody pushed him in. Okay, whatever. You know, God is. Of course, he's going to say that. God is not going to push you into baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is something you're going to have to ask for. Okay? It's something that you have to request from God. God is a gentleman through and through, and unfortunately, probably Episcopal too. Anyway. But Anyway, so he's not going to push you into it. He's not going to throw you into the deep end and hope that you can swim, all right? But once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, once you have requested and that God has come in his power and anointed you with the Spirit for power and for service, once you are there, it is so important, just like that little boy and that teacher standing on the dock, to remember the instructions that you have been given. Okay? It's really important to stay in the Word. When we vary from the Word, then we become endangered. Okay? When you are not following in the Word of God, you're opening yourself to things that are not of the Holy Spirit. There are other spirits at work trying to tempt you away. And so you concentrate on what you know and who you know and the relationship with him through his word. Okay? So remember your instructor's directives. The other thing is, just like that boy when he fell in the water, you're never alone. There's always others with you. And you need not be afraid. We're in this together. We are there to encourage and edify and comfort and challenge one another and to remind one another of the Word and to remind one another of who you are in Christ Jesus. You're never alone. And this is really good too. There's always one on the shore cheering you on, okay? And he's always cheering you to come on, come on, keep coming, keep coming. He's there to encourage you to come to him. We are baptized into the body of Christ, and we are baptized into the Holy Spirit for the common good. All right. Back on 4 Advent, I had given you a word that God had given to me about 2018, and that it may be a difficult year. And it's certainly secularly, there's the prospect that it's going to be a difficult year. But that if we walk according to his word, if we are walking in the Spirit, we need not be afraid. But the word alone is not going to carry us, okay? The word alone is not an instruction manual. This is not basic instructions before leaving earth, okay? That's not what Bible stands for, all right? No, that's not right, all right? The Bible points us toward Jesus and a relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. Points us toward our walk with Jesus. I had a conversation with Will Hurley on Thursday, and we were talking. He had gone up to Kansas City to the House of International House of Prayer up there, and a friend of his had gone with him, and he got baptized. The friend got baptized in the Holy Spirit while they were there, and we were talking about that. What that was so cool, you know, and it was so exciting, As we were talking about that, the statement was made that how do you have a relationship with Jesus if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And, you know, that's really an interesting thing. You can't have a relationship with Jesus just through the written word. You have to have a relationship with Jesus through the living word. And how do we connect with the living word? We connect with the living word through the Spirit. And how do we receive the Spirit? We receive the Spirit in baptism, but then we release the Spirit through baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so this is an important step. And if you have not received baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's very important for you as we go into 2018 to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is not an it, he is a he. Okay?
Can I ask you a question here?
I don't know. Depends on what the question is. I may not answer it.
Do you think that confirmation is supposed to be baptism?
It is supposed. Confirmation is supposed to be the sacramental baptism in the Holy Spirit.
And that's
yes.
What the bishop is.
Where the bishop lays hands on you and prays for you that you. And The prayer specifically is for the release of the Holy Spirit within you. Yes, that is supposed to be the sacramental act of baptism in the Holy Spirit. But it's not the sole means for receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit.
I'm just,
okay?
If you're not confirmed, you can still get it. Yeah.
It is important for each one of us to ask for that gift. And as we enter into this year, I feel very strongly that we as a congregation, we need to all be walking in that same manner, in that same spirit, the Holy Spirit, walking according to His Word. And so if you have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, today is your day. Okay? If you have received it, but you've let things go a little dormant, well, today is the day to renew that. Okay? If you feel like you just want a new impartation of the Holy Spirit, today is the day. This is the time to do that. Okay? And we're going to give you that chance. Remember, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. That's not a suggestion. That is a command. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Where are you going to get the spiritual gifts? Through baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so today at communion, when you come up, I want you to receive communion, and then if you want a fresh impartation or a new impartation of the Holy Spirit, I'll be over there by the votive candle desk. David's going to be over here by the portable altar. And you can take communion and then come to one of the two of us and we will pray for you. And if anybody else would join us in praying for the other members of the congregation, remember, it's about the body. It's about all of us working together. And so be there to encourage and exhort others and offer them prayer for the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.